state lawmakers are working to wrap up a legislative session that's already in overtime. IPR State House correspondent Joyce Russell joins me now for our weekly look at legislative news. Hi, Joyce.
Hello, Sarah.
We're getting down to the wire. Last week, a couple of proposals were sort of slipped in at the last minute in what's known as the standings bill. How does that legislation work?
Well, it works like a Christmas tree. You have failed initiatives of various kinds, which for one reason or another didn't make it through the House or Senate, and so they get tacked on to this bill. I would say I would not want to be a legislative leader at this time of the year, because any lobbyist or legislator worth his or her salt is going to be pushing hard to get their projects into this bill. This is how Senate Appropriations Chair Bob Dvorsky introduced the standings bill in the Senate.
This is only, we should caution everyone, this is only the first step in a torturous route to get through a standings bill. Madam President, there are amendments.
There are amendments.
Indeed, there are. So what are lawmakers trying to push through at the last minute?
Well, some of the issues that we've reported on through the session, the House's firearms bill, the one to let gun owners keep their gun permit information confidential, that's in there. Letting the Corn Promotion Board increase the corn checkoff that producers pay from 1 cent to 5 cents. Taxing electric cars, background checks on ice cream truck drivers. The Republican bill to make state employees pay for part of their health insurance. And then there's some that some might call more pure pork stuff, although I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. There's $8 million so the racetrack in Newton can promote a sprint car race.
So a lot of proposals we heard about early on kind of coming back for one last ditch effort.
That's right.
Last week, Governor Branstad announced the largest economic development project in the state's history, a $1.9 billion, with a B, dollar wind energy project. Now, another project, that fertilizer plant in southeast Iowa, got some pushback from state lawmakers. Joyce, have you been hearing any opposition to this wind energy project?
Oh, no, quite the contrary. Republicans and Democrats alike have been falling all over themselves, applauding the project and taking credit for whatever role they played in promoting wind energy, such as tax credits and such. This is a huge investment for Mid-America. The governor's office has called it the largest ever economic development project in the state. Construction of the turbines alone will create hundreds of jobs. But unlike the fertilizer plant that you referenced, there was not a package of tax incentives offered to generate this investment, so that took criticism off the table. If you're looking for any criticism, it's not criticism, but maybe a corrective to all of the praise that's been dished out here, comes from the Iowa Environmental Council. They applaud the announcement, but they say the state could be doing even more to promote clean energy. They're calling for even more ambitious goals for wind energy production in the state.
We've heard recently that Iowa's top education official, Jason Glass, is a finalist for a job in Colorado. Is that a cause for concern for the governor as he's pushing education reform?
Well, Glass is a chief champion and architect of the governor's Ed Reform Initiative, including the centerpiece, the plan for career advancement for teachers. So I'm sure the governor will be sorry to see him go if, in fact, he gets the job. It will fall to either Glass or his successor to implement whatever Ed Reform the legislature comes up with. But legislators who are involved in the ongoing debate say they don't think that Glass's potential departure will have an effect on these ongoing talks. And the governor's spokesman said that education reform in Iowa is bigger than just one individual.
And any progress on other big issues this session, Medicaid expansion, property taxes?
Well, I can report that neither of those issues has stalled and that negotiators are still talking. I expect that to continue this week. But it's largely behind the scenes now, or much of it is. You and I have been talking about these 10-member negotiating committees, the conference committees, which are trying to work out agreements. But in reality, it's much smaller groups of people working. And ultimately, it will be the top leaders in the House and Senate who will play a key role here as the compromises emerge. Mike Gronstahl in the Senate, Craig Paulson in the House, they'll have to decide what they can get the votes for in their respective chambers.
And I've seen some reports that may actually be done this week.
Well, that's one prediction. A fool's journey to predict.
Right, always. Okay.
A fool's errand to predict, I should say.
Of course. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you, Sarah.